Okay, we're going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. Can you hear us in Fallon? Can you hear us there?
It looks like they can hear us, but we can't hear them.
I don't think we're connected. There we go. Now can you hear us?
Can you hear us? Yeah, we can hear you.
And we can hear you.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
We are connected. Very good. Okay, so we get this meeting going. Let's just first off let everyone know that today's meeting agenda was posted in accordance with Nevada's open meeting law. The meeting is being video conferenced from WNC Carson City to Virgil Ghetto Hall on WNC's Fallon campus. When public comments are taken, there will be time for public comment. Please start by stating your name and who you represent for the record. And in the interest of time, I reserve the right to limit comments to 3 minutes per person. We'll respectfully interrupt if time is exceeded. If your comments have already been presented by someone else, please note that and do not repeat the information. We want to keep everybody moving in through the process here. I'd like to remind the IEC members sitting at the table here that whenever you are speaking, always first identify yourself for the record. It is important that we correctly identify speakers and their corresponding comments when it comes to our minutes and notes and our public record. And then finally, the guest sheet I see is going around. Just make sure everybody does sign on that so we have accurate records of who is here. So welcome to our quarterly meeting, everybody. come on in. And now that Mr. Dyer has arrived, we can go ahead and have our roll call. So, Deb, if you wouldn't mind giving us
Jim Dyer.
Here.
Jeff Gordon. Rob Cooper.
Here.
Laura Iams.
Here.
Mike Jackson.
Here.
Michelle Joy.
Here.
Nick Morano.
And he has an excused absence.
Yes. Mary Jasinski.
Here.
Harry Richardson.
Here.
Rupert Ruiz.
Here.
Buzz Sharman. Richard Stokes.
He also has an excused absence.
Teresa White.
Here.
We have a quorum.
We have a quorum. Fantastic. We did it again. How about that? So at this point in time, I'd like to open up the meeting. Before I do that, just to say welcome Mike Jackson. He's our newest member.
Yeah.
Mike's the president of Micro Manipulator. We all voted him in and got him approved, and so we're really happy you're here with us, Mike. So thanks for joining our merry band. So at that point, we'll open up for public comment. Is there any public comment in Fallon?
No, none.
Okay. We don't have anything in Fallon. Is there any public comment here in Carson City? Yes, sir.
I just like to welcome Mike and just, I think that as this has gone on, it's good to see the evolution, but we're trying to keep the balance, both with geographically as well as industries. And we wanted to make sure that Carson City manufacturing was represented because it is very important to this region and the economic growth. So, and Mike has been very active with the bringing in businesses, working with NDA, if you're not aware of that, as well as, I don't know when he finds company, he's trying to run his company, but I see him all over the place all the time. And so I know that he'll be a great asset, so I just want to thank him for joining the council. Thanks.
You're here.
Thank you.
Okay, and the last chance for public comment. Hearing none, we will move on to agenda item number 3, approval of minutes from the May 24, 2017 meeting. Do any of the members have any additions or corrections to those minutes? If not, entertain a motion to approve those.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
You got a second?
Who seconded it? I'm sorry.
Carrie.
Thank you.
Seconded. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Any abstentions? All right, the motion passes. We can now move on to item number four, remarks from WNC President Chet Burton. So, sir, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Chet Burton, President of Western Nevada College. In the interest, since Mike is new, I'll introduce our staff, even though I think everyone knows most of them. We got Mr. Mark Gann, our VP of Admin and General Counsel, Ms. Ann Hansen, who's the Executive Assistant for External Affairs to myself. We have Scott Morrison, who's our Acting VP of Academics, Dr. Georgia White, who's our CT Director, and Dean John down there, who handles all our student services. And then I'd also like to welcome, a very special welcome to our regent, Ms. Carol Del Carlo. Thank you so much for coming. And as everyone knows, that Regent Del Carlo pretty much encompasses the whole Western Service region with her, amongst others. She has a huge area. So she spends a lot of time on the road, so we're very happy that she can make it. So thank you. Obviously, summer's flown by. We're excited that we have a number of new staff members for the fall. Some have been identified by this group. We actually found that one full-time math teacher in Fallon wasn't enough, so we've hired another one out there to help out both with Fallon as well as the geographic region traveling to Fernley, and soon to be a new program, Jumpstart, down in Mineral County in Hawthorne. So we're excited about that. We have a new biology instructor for supporting STEM. Georgia will be bringing a new manufacturing faculty member to help out Emily, because she is just swamped, and that is sorely needed. And for the first time since I've been here, we have our full faculty for nursing. That's great. So we're that's been a long, hard slog. And of course, with the nursing shortage, now we just have to do our best to keep them, because that's a tough one. But we're delighted. And the other key hire we just made last week is for our librarian and learning resource director. We'll have a new staff member starting in early September. And I think we made a really great hire there, and we're looking forward to her coming on board. This week, the manufacturing lab down in Reynolds is done. We're excited about that. I think there's a little few punch list items, but they'll be moving in. So that will be ready to go. It basically tripled our space for applied technology and manufacturing from what we have. So we're really excited to have that facility. You get the chance. It'll be good once we get the equipment in. It'll look a lot better, but I commend you to go down and see that. Maybe we can do a tour at a future meeting. And that'll also allow us, and we got an agenda item there talking about mechatronics level 2. And the other big construction project is going to kick off here in several weeks is the new science lab upgrade over in Aspen. And that's out for bid right now. We also finished, I see Buzz is here. I don't know if you marked him or not. Hey, Buzz.
Oh, all right, well, thank you.
We've upgraded, I think, 3 classrooms in Fallon. Is that correct, Mark?
That's
so
correct.
We're excited about that. We did some needed work out there. As of Monday, we have a new chancellor on board, Dr. Tom Riley, who primarily from Southern Nevada, but has a long presence both in higher ed, in the business world, as well as government. He was the county manager down in Clark County for a couple of years back in the, back in the 80s. So we're excited. He's going to hit the ground running, and I think has a lot of good ideas. Mark is working on keeping him very busy with a number of joint venture opportunities that hopefully we'll have some exciting announcements coming down the road, both here in Carson City as well as some potential out in Fallon, to better utilize some of the resources we have, mainly our land, which we're land rich. Saturday, I know a number of people already know about it, but we have our big fundraising event for the foundation up at the observatory. If the weather keeps cooperating like it has, it should be a spectacular night up there. We've had cool, clear nights, and we're hoping that continues. So that's the Reach for the Stars event. Our welcome event, back event for the staff is next week on the 23rd. The Kiwanis do breakfast for us at 7 o'clock, so if you not do anything, you want a free breakfast, please come by. They do a great job. And it's a fun event because it's everyone coming back, and it's really the gear up for the new academic year. And then we have a full day of events for that. And then Michelle asked me when classes start, and that is on the 28th. So even though we already have some early start classes starting this week, so we have the EPY class, was his introduction to college, basically, going on. And I had two students approach me yesterday, asking me if I was a faculty member, because part of their was to go around campus to find where the library was, and they needed to get a signature from a faculty member. So I told them, no, I was only the president. But it was good to see the students going around and working hard. They actually had quite a few of the signatures, so they were doing a good job. And one of them wanted to go into business, and the other one wanted to go into auto mechanics. So it was an interesting pair taking that class together. And last thing that's going to be a big deal for the campus is on October 1st, our Workday project, which is an ERP system for all our HR, accounting, and finance, will go live. And that's a system-wide initiative, about $42 million, so it's been a big deal. We're using a mainframe-based COBOL accounting system, believe it or not, called Advantage. So it's long overdue. So our Workday is cloud-based, state-of-the-art. So you may recognize it was founded by the same gentleman that founded PeopleSoft. So it's really a great system, and we're looking forward to that, albeit a lot of trepidation, as anyone in here that's ever done a new software implementation knows. But it's finally time to get into the 21st century, so we're very excited about that. So that's all I've got.
Thank you.
Unless there's any questions.
Any questions for President Burton? Okay. That was a very good report. Thank you for that. So we'll move on to agenda item number 5, so it's my turn to get to talk. So I'll follow the same suit as President Burton and introduce a couple of my staff members that are here from NNDA as well. Lynn O'Mara is here, who's our Director of Economic Development. So we're glad to have you here with us, Lynn. And then sitting next to her is our newest staff member, Anita Lawrence, who's our Director of Business Relations. So she's reaching out and speaking to all the businesses in the community and helping bring programs to them and get feedback into the system, and helping push our pipeline project to bring more students to NNDA. And you'll be hearing from Sherry Woodscreen a little bit later in our agenda. She is heading up the ad hoc committee for the roads program, which you'll hear more about today, again, to increase the flow into the student body here at Western Nevada College. To share this with you, it's really a pleasure every quarter to go to the special committee's meeting with President Burton and sit with the other chairs from the other IACs. Hey, come on in. Welcome, Jeff. As well as to be able to interact with the region, and with our chancellor, vice chancellor. And the thing that makes it really pleasurable is this group, all right? And I expand that group out to staff that sits here. It is such an honor to represent this group. And I, maybe I'm a little bit biased, but I do believe that Western Nevada College has the top position in those meetings. We always present well, let's put it that way, from the work that we're doing right now. And my main remark that I'd want to bring you today, which we'll be talking about in some of the agenda items, is that it's really important that as a council, because we're not a committee, we're a council, and that implies that we're not just advising, we're actually going to do some stuff, okay? And it's important that we as a group take some of our tasks at hand now and move out and actually live up to our objectives, which is why we put that on the agenda today. We've got to take action. We've got to move forward and get some things done. I've noticed, with all due respect, that in some of the other IACs, not a lot of action going on. And I think everybody's kind of facing the same thing. That was one of the topics of the last conversation, is how do we now move out and actually put some tasks on the ground, okay? So we'll be talking about this. And again, I appreciate you guys letting me represent you in that respect. I also wanted to take this time to tell you that our viewpoint for NNDA, our viewpoint magazine, will be coming out here in, I think, in a month. The deadline on all the copy is going in this week. But I want to share with you, this shows you what a great partnership that we have here. The Viewpoint 2017 is going to be pretty much all about Western Nevada College and workforce development. It'll start out with the governor's letter about what he did in the last session to support community colleges. I'll be having my letter in there, and then a lead-off article from President Burton on career and technical education training for non-traditional students. We have another article on career and technical education that Dr. White is helping us put together. We have students talking about their involvement with Jumpstart. So Jumpstart will be pushed. The WNC Manufacturing Lab and the training lab at Silver Stage High will be talked about. The WNC Mechatronics program, Emily is putting an article together on that. We're very proud of her coming back with the level two that we have here now with Mechatronics, putting us on the map, I'm telling you. And then Striving for Improvement with Lindsay Moore. 1.45M Science Lab renovations means great things. Nursing, what does nursing mean to you? Testimonials from nursing students, which I think is going to be very well received. Automotive leads to employment. And then Lieutenant Governor is going to have a side comment about entrepreneurism with an article on the high school programs that Lynn Maris put together about what's going on, because all of our K-12 systems have fantastic entrepreneurship programs going on. So we want to pull those in. Talk about the first Lego League, our K-12 competitions, our K-12 business startup partnership experience, our private organization youth entrepreneurship programs, which are quite a lot of those in our region. I was tasked by the Lieutenant Governor to work with staff to put together a sort of a starting catalog of those programs, and of course I got the credit for it, staff did all the work, but there are just some amazing programs out there from 4-H across the board and the Lego League, etc. So that'll be in there. Then we're going to have the foundation have an article about why the community should rally around supporting through the foundation the growth of the community college. This one I get a this tells me what it's all about. Tanya, how do I say Tanya's last name?
Corbarobius.
What he said. the student body president here. I don't know if you know her story, but reading her story in this magazine is worth getting the magazine. What she went through as the daughter of two immigrants and the challenges she had, I mean, it's an amazing story. I was honored to get to edit her story this week, and it brought tears to my eyes. So we're going to have it about her in the magazine. And then we're going to have a whole section on Did You Know, talking about the child care on site, the observatory. And then we're talking about WNC's accountability, affordability puts money in students' pockets. So about how you can actually afford to go to college and the financial system that is available, and then an article, an update on the dorms and what's going on with the dorms. That's a pretty aggressive lineup, okay? And we wanted to really dedicate this because I believe WNC is the magic card in our future here in this region in more than one way, okay? This magazine will be available for, we're going to overprint it, and it's going to be available for distribution to students and parents in the K-12 systems, and will be out as an insert in all of the Appeal and in the Record Courier, and then we'll have more on top of that if we want to lay it around and things like that. So I think it's going to become a really, really good piece. So thanks to everybody at WNC for supporting this, but I wanted the council to know that this is available, because I think it's going to be a very important collateral piece for us going forward. So there, I'm sure I've used up all my time. Anybody have any questions for me? Okay, then we will move on to agenda item number six. This is the chance for members to have any remarks. Do any of our members have things they'd like to say? Please speak up if you do. Anybody in Fallon? Any members there want to say something? We're not hearing you, Buzz. There you are.
Thanks, Buzz.
Can you hear me okay?
Now we can.
All I wanted to say is thank you for the nursing program. I was at the, as one of my responsibilities as a county commissioner is I'm also on the hospital board. And there was just rave reviews at our last meeting about how well the nursing program is going, the need for it at the hospital and the surrounding communities. And so I just really appreciate WNC, particularly Chad and Judy Cordia's efforts in bringing back that nursing program to Fallon. And that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Buzz. Any members here in Carson City would like to make a comment? I know, Rupert, you're always good for comments.
I'm excited about the nursing program. particularly, you know, for the Latino community, Chad, and I think we've got some conversation around that. But, you know, I'm excited about it. I'm excited to get out there. And, you know, I'm like, you know, here's my partner, right? We get out there, you know, and we start talking about opportunities, tribal opportunities as well. When you start talking about the nursing program, I think I had reached out to Michelle, I think, right? Mm-hmm. I had reached out to Michelle last time we were here. You know, CPLC's been really involved with United Healthcare. You know, they're obviously pulling out of Nevada. It doesn't affect employer-based programs, but they're pulling out of Nevada. So that, you know, they've got some new insurers coming into town, and so I think a lot of things are going to happen, right? But the program itself, the nursing program itself, I'm excited about it. So, and I will do everything I can, right, to help push that on.
And then I just like, this is Michelle Joy, Carson Tahoe Health, because we've had a long relationship with WNC and serve as a clinical site for the nursing program. And as many of you know, the last graduating class, we hired the majority of those nurses. And so from having 40 to 50 open nursing positions at the hospital to now down to 5 huge. It does present new challenges because as this next class comes through for graduation, it's going to be critical that we have spots and, you know, share what other opportunities in the area are there other than just Carson Tahoe. But it obviously has made a huge impact for us.
Thank you. Really good. That doesn't mean you were encouraging emergency room visits.
Right. No. That's already gone up 13%. Right.
How much?
13%.
Any other members have comments you'd like to bring to the table? Okay, well, hearing none, we'll move right along. Agenda item number 7 is report on the last Board of Regents Community College Committee meeting. It's an information-only item. And did everybody receive the report that Deb sent out on that?
I sent that way before the meeting.
It was in an email sent out to you. So I'll just hit the highlights on this because I could take an hour talking about everything we talked about and more. But I'll just try to hit the highlights on it. We had a presentation at the last meeting on the fact that the ACCT Leadership Congress is going to take place in Las Vegas September 25 through 28th, which is really kind of cool. That's coming to our state. Board Vice Chair Stevens provided on her work as a member of the advisory group putting that whole program together. She's participated on the Committee of Community Colleges within a system, and I think she reported on. I think the main thing she came out with is that they're looking at how can they provide more assistance to community colleges through that function. We then had a report by Patty Charlton, who's the VP from Southern Nevada College. She's leading activities on the ACCT convention. They're identifying the roles of NCHE and SNC in these processes. They submitted a proposal to show the work of economic development and workforce development as a system partnership, and I would assume that got accepted. They're putting together a logistics team for planning events. I'm sure that this was a May meeting, so a lot of this stuff I would guess is way down the road and done by now. Showcasing college and student achievements. They're putting their keynote speakers together, and President Burton was able to present that WNC put a presentation proposal into ACCT, and it was accepted. So we'll have a presence there, which is really, really good. I think we were the first one in and first one accepted.
I believe that's correct.
Yeah. So again, we're always leading the way. I gave a report on what we're doing, and just so you know, that's what I do is I take all the notes from our meeting and put it in a presentation and make it there. And then right after that is the committee chairs all get together and we make the same presentation, same people again. It's kind of interesting. And then we have a leadership meeting, so it's fun. But I talked about what our advocacy was during the session, about how we were building the strength of our membership here and introduced the new members that joined us in the last meeting. We talked about the signing ceremony that we had here at WNC and how we're expanding our action items, which we'll talk further on, which is the counselor's familiarization tours that we want to talk about, and the continued focus on spreading the knowledge of the WNC programs to the gatekeeper students and parents, promoting excellence, enrollment and eventual completions, and development of key metrics. We talked about those things. Collie Hutter, the chair of the TMCC committee, presented their new member. They brought on John Meidel, who's a general contractor. Dr. Dana Ryan is joining their board. She's connected to the Washoe County School District, obviously. TMCC provided marketing updates on how the council can support marketing programs at the college to increase enrollment. So they're looking really at a lot of the same things we are as far as their pipeline is concerned. They've doubled their marketing budget year over year, and their focus on the 18 to 24 Latino and adult learners is where they're really focusing. They're focusing on a common message for all workforce development agencies to be more concise and narrow, leading to a regional approach. So there's a lot of conversation going on in that arena. There was presentations made on workforce development programs, what's happening at the national level, and there was a lot of conversation about the workforce pipeline and how it is really not efficient right now to meet demand. They gave some reports on the construction program that they're doing, and they had a discussion of the composition of the IAC and increased their membership to 12 so they could get more folks involved. There was a lot of discussion on, about the value of their arts program and how TMCC is a leader with their program in the state. Their master plan additions to their value in core team, and they're going to add an IAC member to their planning team, just like we'll be talking about here today as well. Heard a presentation on their budget. And one of the things that they're doing, which I thought was really good, and it's something I believe we should as a region dig into, and that is to influence our employers to add the certifications earned to their job descriptions. So that, you know, if you're going to be in this position, you should have this certification. That would really help a lot in bringing students this direction to gain entry into that county. So that was a really good and long report by TMCC. Las Vegas, Southern Nevada College, Nancy Bruhn was not there, but there was a report read by President Richards. They received presentation on revising their counseling office in their last meeting. They had a report from LVGEA, that acronym for those who are not familiar with that is Las Vegas Global Economic Alliance. We always like to say live long and prosper. they had a report on rebranding the CSN Foundation, and there was legislative updates were given and graduation was discussed. Great Basin College, President Curtis and Matt McCarty presented there. They talked about their enhanced role of IAC to be more active in decision-making at the college level. The feeling I got was they're really trying to be more boardish in their activities. They wouldn't have to be able to make decisions on courses and budget requests and things like that. And I'm not sure that's the role of an IAC council. They discussed their Cisco program, which was kind of interesting, and talked about other items going on around campus. And then they showed some appreciation to Dr. Curtis on his retirement event and discussed the filling of vacancies. They discussed the mining industry needs, and they want better representation of mining on their IAC out there. And that was the content from that meeting. The other meetings that we held with the chairs, well, actually, I need to go on a little bit further. President Curtis talked on about because the presidents give reports at this meeting as well. And President Curtis talked about the Cisco Academy. They put out the numbers on their graduation, which was 270 walked. It was the kickoff of their 50th anniversary celebration. President Richards from SNC presented their 3,569 degree and certificates, which was a new record for SNC. And they have a partnership with Jobs for America graduates. Four awards were given. They received a $37,000 grant from the governor's tech office for flight simulation lab, which I thought was interesting. Received a healthcare grant in electronics. A $1.1 million wind grant for their manufacturing training program. Their videography program received 26 Emmy Awards, which was kind of cool. And there was some talk about the legislative session. President Helgerson from TMCC gave her report. Their preferred pathways option is going well. And that's the, Chet, is that the Panasonic one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a short.
It's a half credit classes, open entry. Mixed results at this point. We've elected to kind of have a more structured program.
Yep. And they got $1 million in wind funds provided for their HVAC lab and program. Health careers expand to continue to expand enrollment. They're out of space in the Redfield Health Career Building. They're looking to offer a BA in dental hygiene. Their transfer programs are robust. The art department is hosting shows and reflecting thriving art community in Reno, so they're really pushing the art and humanities there. Physical science hosted a national conference. Skills USA was held on campus, and they're pushing a Register Now campaign for early registration. We haven't had any meetings since May, so I don't know how that went. I would assume it went well, and they're doing a big annual free event. And then, you know, we got the best report from President Burton. And with our graduation and Lieutenant Governor's inspiring speech, the 551 graduates with our 89 Jumpstart students from 13 high schools, it's really interesting to me, just as a side comment, that WMC pilots this whole thing, and then it gets put into law that everybody else has to do it. So, it's kind of cool. Talked about the governor's visit here and the 100 attendees that came out for that event, which was really a great event. President Burton presented the construction projects that are underway that he mentioned earlier as far as the manufacturing labs and the STEM and biology labs, and focusing on enrollment. And again, that's the topic that we need to address here. He gave this guy Scott a bunch of kudos. I don't know. VP of Academics was hired out of Alabama. And so with the new budget, we'll be expanding staff. We'll discuss the WIN funds to expand the CTE programs and expanding the Jumpstart program to include CTE and Silver Stage, getting its new lab, and the expanding construction lab in Yerington and Smith Valley for Jumpstart. We're hoping. Okay. And then TMCC presented, President Helgerson presented the 1,100 graduates. Their Comprehensive Community College is the descriptor of TMCC. So they're really leaning more towards the liberal arts offerings that TMCC was what she presented. Getting their tuitions balanced, transfers being really important. They're centered for applied logistics and material industry, which industrial calm, a place where students become fully integrated, hands-on with the academics, was an example she put forth as an innovation. And she also announced their partnership with Sierra Nevada College, which I found very interesting. Higher education has become more competitive, and so they're looking to integrate with SNC. There was quite a bit of the presentation was dedicated to that. Hospitality focus was another thing presented, where TMCC provides programs and students and then articulate to SNC for their final 2 years. Is said that wrong, but you get the idea. In capital projects, putting $14 million into their sports complex for a health club, which I thought was really interesting. And their EATS center and their learning center. So that's kind of cool. Then Vice Chancellor Woodbeck gave us a report on a legislative update about AB 188, and I'll just let you refer back to your email to read through all that. That's all past tense now anyway, so we can move on beyond that. And then New Skills for Youth Initiative was presented by Kristen Nelson, who's the Director of Office of Career Readiness. And in the emails that was sent out several weeks ago by Deb, there was the PowerPoint sent out to all the members on that. So I'm not going to go through that today, but it's quite an interesting program. And that's the report on the meeting. Hopefully that's helpful information to you. But I just want to give you an overview of what takes place. And that is just an overview. It was a lengthy meeting. Any questions for me on that?
Just FYI, congratulations to Regent Del Carlo. She'll be the vice chair of the community college committee going forward.
All right. Okay. Now, we'll move on to item number 7. That's what we just did. Oh, hey, sir. Item number 8. I'm looking at the wrong number here. In the last meeting, we had requested some nominations or volunteers for one IAC member to join WNC's Ad Hoc Strategies Planning Committee. And I didn't get a rush of emails from anybody.
Well, maybe I can explain a little better. You know, we talked in this meeting a lot about what we've done, but personally, I use the expression driving through the windshield and not the rearview mirror. And of course, one of the most important things we do as an institution is strategic planning. And it just happens to be, we generally work on a 7-year cycle that roughly mirrors our accreditation cycle. We're coming up with accreditation next year. And as part of that process is an update of the college's strategic plan. It's one of the real milestones. And it comes together and actually has to be approved by the Board of Regents. It's key to our package with accreditation. And so the last one was done in 2010-11. The three main mission focus of the college is institutional excellence, student success, and one college serving many communities. And those are all great, I guess almost call it mom and apple pie. I think that those aren't going to fundamentally change. I mean, those are things we're still striving for. But when that was done back in 2010-11, you notice there's nothing in there about dual enrollment, reaching down better partnerships with our K-12 partners. There's nothing in there about the emphasis on workforce development, be it manufacturing, healthcare, all the emerging industries. So I think it's going to be very important that we, you know, incorporate more of that into the strategic plan and have it more representative of what's going on in our region and how the college can meet those needs. And we were very careful within this group, the council, to have different industries represented in different geographic regions. And I think it's important to have a link between this council and the group that will be putting together the new strategic plan and have that input and actually act as a feedback between the council and the college in relation to strategic planning. So that's why I see this as really, really critical. And I know how busy everyone is, but I think that it's very important, not only for the most comprehensive plan, but it's an accreditation issue, as Scott reminds me all the time, that we do receive the broadest range of input as we can. So I'm not going to put anyone on the spot. You know, we called for that. If someone's willing to volunteer, we'll that'd be great. If not, I would commend you to think about it and please get back to Rob if you can serve in that role, because it really, really is critical as we're going forward. Yes, Terry.
What is the time commitment, or when are the meetings?
It'll probably be one meeting a month, so it's not huge. And we could set it up to be by phone or IEB, whatever's most convenient. So, and generally, meetings will be, maybe the kickoff will be a little longer, but we try to keep them to an hour. So we try, obviously recognizing the commitment, and everyone has huge needs on their time. But I also think if we're thinking about what the college is going to look like 3, 5, 7 years from now, and what we're going to be structured and how we're going to meet the need, having this input, I think, is going to be particularly critical.
Chad, who is chairing your strategic planning committee?
That will be determined with the first meeting. Thanks, Buzz. Good question. So anyway, like I said, I don't want to put anyone on the spot. Please, if you can give it some thought, or if you need to reach out to either the chair or myself for additional information, but it would really, you know, it's a big deal. Let me just put it that. I don't use that word that often, that we have that link between the council and that strategic planning group. Thank you.
So if anybody wants to volunteer now, you may, but if not, you could always get a motion, but we're not going to do that. So, but I really would appreciate it if anybody would like to do that, they can get a hold of me. I'd love to report that at our next.
And like I said, I know 5 minutes isn't a great overview, and if someone is interested but feels like they need more information, I'd be glad, or Scott, who's been doing a lot of work in this area, to sit down and give you more of an in-depth what we're looking for. Yes, Laura. Yes,
We have a volunteer here.
I'll volunteer.
All right.
Thanks, Buzz. That'd be great.
Okay.
Really, with all your
just let me know when the meetings are, and I'll try to get over there for them also.
So we would like to have a motion then for us to become our member of ISC on the strategic planning.
I'm
sorry, when he bailed out.
Can we have a second on that?
Second, the motion to accept is.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed, other than Bus?
Thank you. Thank you all for your support.
All right. We got that one done. That's good.
Well, I think it's great because Bus has a long associate with the college. He understands the accreditation process as well as his work on the both in the county, in the community of Fallon, and again, promoting all the cornerstones of what we're trying to do. So thanks so much, Buzz.
And then And then I would add, thanks, Bess. I think I would add to that then that this should become a recurring item on our agenda moving forward to bring reports back on what's going on with the strategic
interface.
The interface, so that we can all have input through Bess into the strategic planning process. Make sense?
Sounds good, yes.
Okay, we're moving right along. The next item, number 12, is another for possible action item. It's an action plan for creating counselor shores.
What about you?
Did I skip over one?
Skip over
9, 10, 11.
Fire me. Geez, where am I? I got all the way to the bottom. Number 9. I thought we were moving awful fast. WNC enrollment update and ad hoc enrollment retention committee recommendations.
Okay. This is an information item, but it may be action in the future, because I think when I look at what's going on in college, and I look at, you know, when you look at all the strengths, there's a lot of great things going on. This is one of our weaknesses, I'll be frank. And it's something, last year the red flag went up because we maybe got a little bit complacent, because while everyone else was seeing a drop in enrollment from 15 to 16, we actually went up. But in 16 to 17 last year, we saw about an 8% drop in enrollment, which hit us hard in tuition, which is about a third of our budget. We were able to compensate. And as a result of that, we brought this group together last year, just like we did with the budget crisis in 2013. And a lot of great input came out of this. I'm just going to summarize real quick, just so you understand some of the things we're looking at and let you know where we're at. And so the recommendations were on retention, which, you know, enrollment is a two-part thing. It's both getting new students in and keeping the students you have. And with community colleges, retention is a huge issue. Typically, we can lose between 40 and 50% of the students that enroll one year to the next for a variety of reasons. Some of them good, they get jobs, they transfer on to a four-year school, but more likely, you know, for a variety of reasons, they didn't make it. And so we joined, there's a nationwide, the John Gardner Institutes, there's a consortium on retention, and we're participating in that and working very hard on looking at what we can do best practices on retention and get more metrics so we understand why students are leaving and are not completing. We have a lot of metrics, so we're gonna try and really drill down even deeper. And also to help students, support students, starting this fall, a number of faculty members actually volunteered to be faculty mentors for returning students. So every student, a goal will be that they'll have a not only somebody they can work with counseling, but a faculty member who will be their mentor that will try and meet with them once or twice a semester, hopefully to, you know, help them through some of their rough times. We're gonna beef up our tutoring. We got a new writing center that we started up last spring right here in Bristlecone. We're embedding tutors for both English and history, which are risk classes. And longer range, we're looking at more embedded tutors in high-risk courses, which is a jumpstart model, better tracking success, and listing tutors that students can reach out to in the syllabi for the classes. So it'll be embedded within the classes. We said that there's looking at more class offerings. That's why we hired more faculty. And a big deal is we used to fill out online classes, and when they're full, and to me, in a virtual world, why would you find a world if you have resources, and we do through a variety fill out, because there are no physical limitations like the classroom. So we made a major decision, I think we're the only ones in the state, that we will not allow an online class to fill. It's basically open enrollment right until the class starts. And as a result, this is one of the bright spots in enrollment. We're up, what, about 12%, I think, or 14%?
In web classes, compared to last fall, at 39%.
39%. It's huge. And so, and we're actually believe that that will continue to drive enrollment right up until class starts, because we're already seeing some sister institutions have online fall. And remember, online, you can take it from anywhere you want in the state. You don't physically have to be in our service area. So I think that that was a key initiative that came out of that group. We're going to start doing more community outreach, and it's going to work in some of those areas. We used to have some community-wide events, like a Christmas event, that we're going to try and bring back to get more of the community involved with the college again, because I frankly get tired when I go out and hear people say, oh, I forgot there was a college up there. And we unfortunately hear that too often. And so we're going to do more community outreach and more events with the community using some of our resources like the observatory and things like that. So these are the ongoing efforts, and this is what I guess what's been particularly frustrating for me, because you can see we're up online almost 40%. It was we're moving Jumpstart. Other school districts have asked us to move in, including Mineral and Lander County, which will have programs in those districts. We're expanding both here in Carson City and Douglas. Douglas particularly, we're really excited about that partnership where we're going. And despite all those efforts, we're still down almost 3% enrollment this fall. So it's like the treadmill keeps going faster, and you say, what's going on? Well, it's a simple phenomenon. It's not unique. You're seeing nationwide areas that are showing economic growth, students are stepping out and they're getting jobs. And literally, Georgia sees it every day, and working with all the workforce, and I'm sure, you know, I talked to Kerry, and I know his number one concern is finding employees. I know a lot of other people have the same concerns that, you know, what happens is, you know, these young adults make a decision, okay, do I take that $10 or $12 an hour job? Because they can get hired in a distribution center, entry-level job, immediately. In fact, right now, if you're a, you know, a high school graduate with a pass the drug test, interview relatively well, you can have multiple job offers. And I've talked to a lot of students. So our job is to show that economic model that even if you come here a semester and work through that program with Panasonic, for instance, we talked about, that $10 or $12 an hour job becomes a $17 to $34 an hour job. I think that's the number right there, hiring at Georgia, with full benefits.
Wow.
So, I mean, that, you know, that's like a 50% increase for one semester. But we just got to continue to do a better job. And again, I'm going to, you know, continually work with this committee, you know, how we can do a better job of selling the economic model, because I feel like we're doing a lot, but in a sense, I don't want to feel like it's a failure, because we're doing as well or better than any other institution, but it still bothers me when I hear time and time again, jobs are going unfilled because there's not qualified applicants, and we're having trouble maintaining our enrollment. It's very, very frustrating. And so I'm not making excuses, please don't think that. And we're working very hard, but and hopefully we got a couple things that my fervent goal is when we start classes on the 28th, that we at least can look back and say we're level to last year. And if we can do that, I think that will make a major accomplishment. So I just wanted to give an update what was going on.
Thank you.
I think it's something we'll talk about in the future, and there's other initiatives later on in this agenda that we're going to talk, the roads especially, and some of the initiatives that will hopefully help that. But we're always open to suggestions, too, so I can take any questions if there are any.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Just a question on the online courses. How do they fit into the overall picture? Do they enhance the on-site, or do they just expand the reach of the college? I mean, are they integrated with a standard program here, and it just helps?
We have a number of programs that are available completely online.
Completely.
So typically what we see, though, is students who are using web classes to free up time in their schedule and flexibility. So
yep.
they may come here 2 days a week, but they can still take a full load of classes because they can work on Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, and that's what was
but
curious.
But they're all integrated in the academic
right.
road map, so to speak.
So it does help that in the sense that if there are students that can't
and
be
just
here all the time, it facilitates their ability to still
right.
go through the program like that.
Just a quick reminder, make sure you identify yourself when you start speaking.
Tim Dyer.
Sorry, yeah. Scott Morrison.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Rupert Reese, do you track, there was a couple questions that I had. Are the web classes, are they available to jumpstart students?
Yes.
They are, okay. And so my next question is, when you're talking about a decrease, right, whether it be financially, academics, are we tracking all that? Do we know why these kids are dropping out and not making it?
Yes, we try and reach out to every single student that doesn't come back and figure out why exactly. And most often, even though we get the same answer that in some way life got in the way and they couldn't continue their studies, or they got a job.
So is it more times academics, or is it financially?
It's more times when I say life. It's issues at home financially. They felt like they have to work. Even though we're giving out a record amount of financial aid this year, and we have different avenues than we've ever had. More often, tied to that is I got a job. In some cases, successfully, we look at success narrowly. In some cases, saying a completer gets a certificate, transfers, or a degree. But if they come here a year and still are able to get a job that's significantly better than they could have, even though they may not have completed. I mean, construction is a great example where they're hiring people that get minimal experience, but yet they're making good salaries because there's just such a demand. And maybe we're looking, some cases, too narrow of a focus of what being successful is.
Yeah, and the only thing that I was trying to put together was if you're tracking that information, then it would help you, right, with your planning.
Absolutely.
With your
yeah.
planning,
no,
right?
we're very so, granular with that information.
No, it was an article. I had a meeting with Gosh Communications. It was an article that was called, it was put out by governing.com, I believe, and it's called Nevada Shines, right? So what it states is in the next few years, Nevada will actually set precedents of what the rest of America will look like, right? And they said because of the huge immigration or because of the huge Latino population, the Asian population, they will, and it didn't say in the next 10 years, it said in the next few years that the Asian population and the Latino population are well going to be over 50% of Nevada's population, right? So I think when you put something like that together, President Burton, when you're taking a look at that, I think you need to keep a lot of that in mind.
Well,
right?
And we're looking very much at the cohort model, what we talked about in the past, the veterans, Latino, the jumpstart models. And John just let me know, Latino cohort is up to 60.
She has a total of 135 students that she's watching out for, but the new students is 63 new students, of which all are in 15 credits, so they're in the 15 to finish model.
Are they?
And so we're probably going, we'll see the final numbers, but we're so close, preliminarily that will drive us in over the HSI, which is Hispanic Service Institution, 25%, which again makes us eligible for a number of other grants and support. So I hear exactly what you're saying, and we're doing a lot of outreach and trying to do support in that area as well.
You know, and I think more importantly, right, when you take a look at that, and just going based on what Michelle was talking about, right, and the student nursing program and the fact that they're able to access the nurses that are coming through that particular program, I think it's really crucial for us to make sure that the workforce stays in Nevada, right? We were at a senior management meeting up at NAU this last week, right? And, you know, it was really interesting, right? So the student loan forgiveness programs that they have available to their students, you know, increased Latino student population within the university. But it really, interesting enough, it was 83% of the students that graduate from NAU stay in Arizona. And I think that's crucial, right? It's important to us.
So, you know, we'll give a further update at the next meeting and then take other action as we need it. So I just want to give another update.
Thank you very much. We'll move on to the next item. I'll put little checks here so I don't get confused now. So we'll go on to number 10. President Burton's going to give us an overview on the Nevada Promise Scholarship.
So when we're marketing, I guess when we're talking about college, there's nothing better to say than free. And this came out of the last legislative session. It'll be active for fall of 18, but we're enrolling students right now. And the legislature appropriated over $3 million for the Promise program. Western was the first in the state to go active to start taking applications, which we're doing right now. And this is not need-based. This has no, you know, I mean, in theory, your parents could be very wealthy, and you qualify for this program. We feel that we probably won't have enough money for all the applicants, but we're going to continue, and it'll be first come, first serve. That's why it's so important. But there's some extra posters here. If you know of anybody that you think could benefit, like I said, I mean, right there. Right in the middle.
Great.
It's hard to beat. There's some very, the requirements are that they have to be a graduate of a high school from Nevada between, with the upper age of 20. They have to fill out a fairly simple application. They have to do the financial aid worksheet, because if they get any other financial aid, this is last dollar in. But again, if they don't qualify for any aid, this would pay all their tuition. And they, something we're working on with NNDA, they need to be assigned a mentor. And we're going to work on doing some training with mentors, hopefully get people from the business community involved in that, because I think, again, that's that tie. And they also have to do 20 hours of community service before they enroll. So it's fairly simple. John, do you want to?
I was going to say DACA students are eligible.
They are eligible.
Yes. Fantastic.
So there's some posters here. If you know of anyone that can benefit by free college, please, like, we're getting them out to all the counselors and getting the word out, because this is really, you probably heard about the Tennessee program or the Tennessee Promise. This is somewhat modeled after that. And I would have to assume it was passed somewhat late in the last legislative session, but if the demand is out there and we see a lot of students, I would have to think that there'll be some appetite to expand the program next time. That's why we're really going out and marketing it very actively right now. But it's, the information's on our website. You'll see things like this. We're going to do more outreach articles. You've seen the paper. And then working with the high schools to get the word out there, because it really is quite novel. We talk to parents who don't get financial aid because they're not, you know, their income is such, and it's, so you want to send your son or daughter to UNR, and it's going to cost you $7,000+ a year, or you can send them to Western, and it will cost you nothing.
Yep,
that's a, in my mind, a pretty compelling argument. So anyway, I just wanted to let her know what was going on with that.
I'm sure there's a few city offices those posters could be.
Sure.
That'd be great. Thank you for that. Moving on to item number 11, this one I'm really excited about as well, is the Mechatronics Level 2 update. President Burton.
Yes, I'm probably getting tired of hearing me talk, but this one puts Western, Mechatronics Level 1, you know, somewhat put us on the map. This really makes us unique, and that this is one of the few programs in the whole United States, let alone the only program west of Mississippi to offer this training. And this is recognized as the gold standard worldwide in manufacturing certification. You know, we were fortunate enough to send our lead instructor, Emily Hallworth, over to Berlin for several weeks this summer, where she not only trained with Siemens, but also with FANUC, which is a robotic company. What's that?
KUKA.
KUKA, not FANUC, excuse me, KUKA. Robotic company that she worked with over there. And they're very interested in doing some further partnering with us on, in the robotic area. But we'll be kicking that off. Now, our initial class is rather limited because one of the criteria for level two is you have to have gone through level one, and we only have 9 students that have gotten through that. But we're going to be enrolling students in to submit fall semester with a goal of getting them through level one and then moving them right into level two. What's also unique, this leads to an associate degree, and it's a much more rigorous certification than the level one. I mean, this is somebody that's going to go out and look at being in the supervisory level and really having a broad toolbox. These are, what would you say, the $30 to $40 an hour jobs?
Jordan? Probably. I think Jeff Gordon could probably speak to that more, but can I talk for a second?
Yes.
So
please
at level two, so there is more at a higher level of leadership, a higher level of problem solving, critical thinking. And the phrases that you'll hear with level two are adaptive expertise. So somebody that doesn't just know one machine or one particular type of program, but that has the capability to work on several. And the other is predictive maintenance. So not just preventive maintenance, but predictive maintenance. So they are able to read the outputs of the machines, the productivity, and predict when that machine might break down or might stop, and they're able to intervene so that it really limits the downtime. And another aspect that we don't really talk about that maybe, Jeff, you could mention, but I guess it increases the productivity of a plant and then also reduces costs when you don't have the engineer down on the floor. But you'll hear more about that. And so that's level two. And let me say one other quick thing, because I'm a shameless promotion person. So we're also for, I think, all but one of our 9 Mechatronics 1 graduates have indicated they're in for Mechatronics 2 this fall. And then for Mechatronics 1, we're instituting, I have to come up with a better name, but essentially a retail model. So someone that cannot be here for a whole semester can take 2 intensive 1-week training sessions to sit for that level one exam. So we're trying that model to draw from southern, not only our Northern Nevada, but Southern Nevada and Northern California that might come in for that.
Yeah, I'm proud to have 2 of those 9 graduates in our plant right now. One of them was a permanent employee that was our maintenance supervisor, and said he learned much more out of that class. Wish he'd been there for 15 years and wish he'd, you know, learned what he learned 15 years pre-intense. But the second one is an intern. She's still completing her degree. Interesting enough, so taking Manny, who started as maintenance man and then went to a supervisor, team lead there. He's now on our engineering team and assisting with the automation team. So when you talk about what it is, yeah, I'd agree in the $34 range, but where I see it as it frees up those 4-year degreed engineers to go do more strategic, larger projects than the sustaining work of keeping our automation running on the floor. And it's a great bridge between that, the maintenance and the technicians that we have on the floor, to that, the senior or more experienced engineers. It gives that bridge for Manny also to look for, to aspire into that engineer role, which he just gains that experience out here. interestingly, the intern we have, Marcella, has, you know, she's kind of split her time since we, when we get March maybe, between the manufacturing engineering team and the maintenance team. She's actually taken more to the maintenance side of it, and would be very interested in any openings we had coming up on the maintenance side. And we're interested in her finishing her degree before we can do that. But that class has enabled both of them to really do more than just what they would have been able to do before in terms of all the automation we got on the floor. I've even talked to my manufacturing engineering manager about, you know, if we ever start growing back again, you know, the gas market, hopefully we'll do something here someday. You guys will be paying more at the pump, but we'll have more work to do. But I have talked to him about looking at what's the model if we start needing to grow that team? Is it really go look for more 4-year degree engineers, or is it figuring out how to get some of these technicians that have the skills that we don't need to have, you know, the higher cost of a 4-year engineer, use them more strategically and be able to fill out the team with more folks like Marcel and Manny. So I'm excited to hear about the level 2 course coming up and make sure we get that involved.
Thanks.
Thank you. So yeah, we're excited about it, and we're get the first group through, and then we're going to start really marketing this in a wider geographic area, because we're hearing more and more companies. In fact, Georgia met with Tesla just earlier this week, I believe.
Panasonic,
and they said that they could hire, was it 60 mechatronic grads?
He said we're not fully automated. We're nowhere near Tesla, but we will need 50 level ones at least in the next 5 years.
Wow. So the jobs are there. Again, we'll talk later about pipeline. John.
One of the Jumpstart students has been provisionally accepted into Caltech engineering this year. For his senior year, he's doing the level 1 electronics to get that hands-on experience. So really excited about that.
That's crazy. You think coming out of high school, going into a freshman class at school, and then you're taking a degree like this. I apologize for being late, but I was in our interns. We had a bunch of interns over the summer from 4-year colleges around the country, and they were doing their pitch outs today. So there was one on my team I wanted to stick around for. But to see the level of work they're getting involved in at the, you know, it's no longer wait till you get along senior in the college years. It's, you know, we have first year students that are just doing some phenomenal work at our. That's great to hear.
Yeah, and I think it gives us, President Burton said, we talked a lot more about this in our pipeline, but the student attraction capability, the messaging, and the reality of this program is huge. The fact that Western has level 1 and level 2 here, making it the only one, three in the United States to have level 2 now, or 4, something like that?
I don't want to state that. I'm not that sure.
Okay, but I know we're the only one in the Western United States that has
for sure.
Anything, really. So it gives us a unique selling position for students from Northern California and Southern California, not to mention our local employers. So getting this message out that this is here is really important, because a lot of our employers don't know that this is here. And so that's something that we're going to be working really hard on on multiple fronts. So any questions on that for President Burton?
Well, would that be in your NNDA magazine?
Yes.
Okay.
It will be. It will be. Okay. Then we will we'll move on to the one that I falsely started earlier. Action plan for creating counselor tours. This is one of those things where we could have an action on this. I think the discussion is really how do we get our counselors involved in what's going on here at Western Nevada College. How do we get them here to see what the opportunities are? I think the magazine that was mentioned will help get the message out. But we'd really like to get the counselors here on campus seeing the various labs, because it's not just the manufacturing side, it's the coding and where we're going with that, the health labs, the expansion of that. It's a little bit frustrating.
Machine tooling,
automotive. There's so many things going on here, and so many
So many people don't know him. And I think also get the story out that the economics of it all. The students actually, I mean, imagine all the time spent to become a six-year anthropology graduate and how that compares up to what your young lady's making at and being happily making at Clipfont right now. So just getting that story into the hands of the counselors is what we want to do. So I guess the discussion here today is, as a group, how do we accomplish that? How do we go about doing that as a council? What can we do? I'd open the floor up for discussion on that.
My name, this is Fallon, Laura. Have you ever thought of like virtual tours, like virtual online tours, and then putting it on the website and then contacting counselors and promoting it that way virtually? That way they don't, if they can't drive or make it there, which seems to be the problem, and have the time to look at all these facilities, if you could do something virtual, so that way they can have some kind of visual term, and then they may want to come out and see those areas and see what you're promoting.
Good idea. It's kind of step one.
That's a great suggestion.
That's a great idea. If you think about the times when we've tried to get tour days put together, and logistics was the hardest part of it all.
On the other hand, I think the physical visit would be good for them. So if we could put together a day, I could easily promote it with the superintendents. And even if each high school sent one or two counselors and took that message back, so maybe have some students, give them a tour, let them see the labs, share some information, have a couple of handouts about success stories. I think for some of them, actually seeing, being in the room, seeing things might be helpful, and I'd be happy to facilitate that through the Superintendents Association.
No, that's great. We did have a lunch and a day last year for just counselors, and I thought it was well attended and a lot of good feedback, but I think that's a good way to continue reinforcing it. Absolutely.
Tim Dyer, so what would you say our connection level is with counselors in our area of influence? Is it like 50% or 20% or
100%?
Pardon?
100%. Our head counselor, Piper McCarthy, goes around and meets with every counselor in this area. So they have very good communication, but what they don't have is what Terry's talking about, is an opportunity to walk through and see what's going on in these manufacturing labs and talk to the success stories.
Well,
that's a great idea.
In that regard, then, you don't have a lot of penetration with that direct knowledge of...
Right, we're out there.
You talk to them, and they know about it, but they... Because I did a tour, and that changed my perception significantly. I said, wow, this is really neat. Georgia showed me the lab, and I said, wow, this is like, So I think that's where I'm saying the virtual tour is great, but you got to tie it with that personal connection. And just to finish, I said, to some extent, to staff is always reaching out. If you have champions, I always like the champion term. In my backyard, I'd be happy to do the connection with the high school there, Yarrington, Smith Valley, if you see that opportunity. Because I don't have to go very far if you're willing to come to Yarrington and make that connection.
Oh,
so.
Absolutely.
So the other piece of bringing them together gives them an opportunity. They don't ever get to talk to one another district to district or high school to high school even in the same district. And so that opportunity for professional conversation over lunch or over, an hour Q&A session, I think would be hugely valuable. I'm happy to help with it.
I appreciate that. I think we'll look at it. And getting the superintendent support, I think, would be critical. We were a little more ad hoc last time, and I think that the superintendents really get behind it. It's interesting. Dr. Weiss shared an article out of Colorado, and they actually passed a bill out of their legislature. They were so frustrated that mandates career technical counseling for all high school students. Because, again, one of the, and I don't think it's either malicious or, but you think about the majority of counselors, you know, they come out of a liberal arts background with a four-year traditional degree, and that's their comfort zone. And so when you start talking about some of these alternative career paths, they've been looked down upon for a long time. You know, if you can't make it into the four-year college, that's where you go. So parents, of course, in their mind, are going to emphasize, well, I'm going to send my son or daughter there, so I want to go, you know, to UNR or UNLV or out of state. To understand that in some cases, these are much better job opportunities than some of the other four-year tracks traditionally that students have been guided to. And I think it's just changing that paradigm and that view, because if you look at, I mean, the key statistic, I think, when I work with the state is 60% of the new jobs created in the next 5 years in Nevada will not require a four-year degree, but they'll require training post-secondary. I mean, that's huge. And if we can't show these students, you know, that we're the, the benefit of going in these programs, then someone's shame on us, because and a lot of it works with the parents and the counselors. So.
Carrie Vinson, for the record, just to, I think starting with the counselors is great, but just so we don't become overly focused on counselors, teachers also are certainly role models in providing direction, since we're really working on trying to get a paradigm shift here throughout our local society. And let's just a suggestion to open it up to teachers as well as counselors, because we can get more knowledge out there of what really exists, more of the, wow, I didn't know this was here to help that to permeate our region.
No, it's a great suggestion.
I have a suggestion.
Yes,
ma'am. What about the local tribes? All the tribes, they have education directors. They are the ones that push our students to go to different places, colleges. Last year, they were notified and they went to UNR and they went to other colleges, but they did not go to Western Nevada College. And they take vans and they take the students up from junior high to high school and they do these tours with them. But our education directors for these different tribes, they should be sort of focused on, you know, and have an invite so they can bring their students to those to the colleges that they may want to go to. Especially Western, like they could go to go to Carson or Fallon, or you know, but there's no tours for them for that. And I think if you focus on that, you may be hitting a lot more students, because I know UNR, they really push. They come out and visit us and talk to us, and they focus on having our students come up for those tours. That's all.
Thank you.
No, that's a great suggestion. We will follow up on that.
Yeah, it sounds to me almost like there's an event in the making. Okay. In other words,
a number of events, I think.
If you look at the counselors plus teachers, you know, like a busman's holiday kind of a college day, they could be put together.
I wonder too if our Career and Technical Advisory Committee meeting could be held on campus once a year.
We've got room. I'm happy to host that. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I was just going to suggest that in the counselor tours that the career and technical leaders for the high schools be involved too.
Mike Jackson. This actually is something that came up at the last Western Manufacturers Alliance meeting as well. The idea of getting counselors out to do some of the tours that manufacturers and businesses are doing seemed to be the last group we could get in. One of the suggestions that was made there is apparently as a resource. I just mentioned that Dr. Dana Ryan up in Washoe County has apparently had some success with that. You might want to check with her and see what she does in order to make that happen as well. Because there's indications that they had the same problem, but she has been able to reach in there and get some success. So I just want to throw that out.
Oh, I appreciate that. I think that the takeaway as a college, what we'll do is we'll work together with our counseling group and career and technical education and look at a series of events this fall that target all these stakeholders we talked about, from the tribal stakeholders, continuing to work with the Latino community, counselors, teachers, the parents, again, because there's stakeholders. And I think that, again, it's not going to be one single event, but we need to look at a series of interactions. And the other thing that I've heard talked about, I know WMA is taking a lead on this, is not only getting the counselors on campus, but getting them out, and I know Carson City's done this, into the manufacturers and the different businesses
themselves
to see the jobs, that they're not, you know, the traditional sweatshop kind of bad working conditions, you know, that, you know, these are good working conditions and you know, jobs that are not just menial and pay well, and letting them see what the jobs are. So we'll continue to work in that area as well.
You know, it would seem, just to this suggestion out, is because Dr. White said that she could help organize the superintendents, maybe it would make sense from the council's point of view to create an ad hoc committee to work with the college from, you know, put these events together. And love to see if Dr. White would be interested in taking that on, because that would formalize it within the council.
Okay, we can.
Does that make sense?
To work.
Sure.
So, would anybody like to make a motion that we form an ad hoc council with Dr. White heading that up to put together events and to bring these this all to come, all to pass?
That's right.
And Fallon
to be part of it for
travel. Yes. Yeah, it would be. However, the committee we get put together, I guess we. What I'm suggesting is, we would make a motion that Dr. White put together a committee to work with, from the council to work with the college to put these events together, and have that be an official action of the council.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second. Everybody in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Congratulations, Dr. White, you have another job.
It's that Dr. White, not this one.
Mr. Chair, I'd be so bold as to make the suggestion that we take 15 out of order, because we have a forum and it's important that we do that.
Okay.
And people I know have schedules, so maybe we can have discussion if people want to open that one up.
Okay. Order. Yeah, sure. Sure. So, number 15, we do need to have a vote on that. In accordance with the NC Procedures and Guidelines Manual, the election of chair and vice chair will take place biennially during odd-numbered years at the first regularly scheduled council meeting of the state fiscal year, which is now, basically. And the term of these officers will be 2 years, so we want to open that up for discussion, and chair and vice chair.
My suggestion is we should just keep it the same and just keep who we have in the positions, because we're moving well, if you guys still want to do it.
Is that a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Yeah. I'll second it.
Well, I'm honored to do it. In fact, I enjoy doing it. So thank you for that motion.
Good.
I think the momentum is important.
So we have a motion and a
second. A nominate for us.
He's saying yes.
Okay. <That's just laughs>
Wait, where's the motion?
To continue with
additional
two-year
terms,
chair
and
vice
chair.
Okay,
second.
So, all in favor of that?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you very much.
That was easy. Thank you, Laura.
Okay. We'll go back to.
This is AASA and this is CSA.
Okay. So, item number 13. We're going to have a presentation on our roads program. You recall at our last meeting, Sarah LaFrance gave us a quick update on it. And now I'm happy to introduce Sherry Woodsgreen, who will give us an update on where the roads program is going. And I want to thank her for all the work that she's putting into this. This is her and her team, her committee, staff's doing a great job on it. So I'll get out of your way.
You're fine. Thank you, everyone. Sherry Woods Green, Wise Ventures president, and I'm also a strategic development consultant for Nevada Rural Housing Authority. I would thank Chairman Hooper, second term, congratulations. President Burton, the council members, and also Regent Dolan, Carla. Thank you. I want to make sure, too, that I introduce or reintroduce part of this task force. I was invited, I should say, to take the team lead on this, but really it always takes a village. So again, Linda O'Mara and Anita Lawrence and Dr. White from WNC have been instrumental in where we are today. And I want to thank also the brain. This is sort of a brain trust, I believe, of President Burton and Chairman Miller. So it's we have some pretty heavy water to carry to get this all going, but we're very excited about it. What we ended up calling roads is realizing opportunities for the American dream to succeed. We think that's valuable in the sense that a lot of these folks that we are going to be recruiting to participate don't, we have this sort of a paradigm that they're not comfortable with necessarily being students or looking at, they never thought they could qualify to become a college student, and they get, it's very intimidating, and getting on campus and all the different requirements is, you know, so we're thinking, no, it's realizing opportunities. This is what you are, you know, can improve your life and grow your opportunities this way. So developing and deploying a workforce training for the health and workforce housing continuum. One of the things that we're really proud of, obviously having these partners involved already, NNDA, NRHA, WNC, WMA, but we're hoping to find other strategic partners as well as we move forward, because it is going to take a lot of influence and effort from a lot of different groups in our region. This is a pilot program for the Sierra region that we're doing for right now, making sure that we get everything worked out. One of the opportunities that we've got is looking at one of the things that we are really doing, we have this that what is the purpose? Define the challenge. Get the analytics and very clearly understand what is the problem we're trying to solve. Everyone says we have this huge issue in workforce skills trained folks, and we have a big issue in workforce housing. And that's called what we call the missing middle, right? It's really the groups that actually make between like about $45,000 to $100,000 a year don't qualify for low-income housing. And so they are in the overburdened of their annual budgets, right, of having to, you know, live in market rate housing. And that's a big problem for us in our, actually nationally, but specifically in our region. So as we get all of these, what I call the economic infrastructure in, you know, coming into our area, it just further exacerbates our issues of skilled labor and housing, both. So we have to look at how do we tackle both of those. So we're starting to define the problem as what's the purpose of this program, define the analytics, and that's what this is about. And we're working very closely with Dr. White in order to get our clear analytics together to really understand the scope of our problem. Right now we do have some wonderful statistics from Dieter, but it talks about how great things are, but not as much of what the shortfall is. And so we're really, again, trying to get our arms around that. We're focused right now just to launch the program around manufacturing, healthcare, construction, and technology, and those four key specific industries. And we're also working with, for instance, I'm a big fan of, if you want to know what your customers think, ask them. And so we're working with Anita, who is going out to industry leaders in these four areas right now and interviewing them about what is it specifically that you're looking for? What is it that you need? What's missing? If you had a magic wand, what would that look like? And what would that solution look like for you? So we can really get a better sense from those direct interviews about what we can do to improve and streamline our program. We put it in a very, kind of fun. We're trying to make this fun. The branding, Roads Alone, lends itself to a lot of really exciting messaging and promotion opportunities. So we have this get ready, get set, go. Get ready is obviously how do we recruit you? Get ready is how do we put you in from an admissions, right? Get you registered. How do we qualify you, pre-screen you to the best of our ability? Go, you're enrolled and you're taking these classes. Finish line, you're employed or you have an apprenticeship or an internship that has promise for the future. And then getting you home is also very critical and important to, you know, qualifying for that. And I'll give you an example. Let's just go to, so these are the qualifications. Let me give you an example of, we've got two sort of roads that we're down. One is promoting the pilot program itself, big picture about what is it, how do we get it out to everybody, how do we let you know it's available, and we're calling that the road show. And that's combined with promoting the program as well as recruiting students. And part of that, I'll give you an example. We're working with Home at Last at Nevada Rural Housing Authority. They have this phenomenal program that helps you. It's actually in the front part and in the last part. They give help with down payment assistance and getting you into a single family home. So that's great for our workforce housing side of the house. But also in the process of doing that, they're already out there with their own sort of roadshow. And they present already about how do I buy a house? So home buyer education and things of that nature. Right now, and they travel over the state of Nevada, specifically this region. They have about 20 people come to, you know, one of their presentations. One out of 20 is typical that can actually qualify at that time for a home. The rest of them are in the education mode of how do I get, you know, financial education, how do I understand, how do I get a better paying job. So literally one out of 20 qualify for a home, 19 are candidates for us. And why we love that is because they've already expressed ambition and desire to buy a house. So they already have some sort of something going for them that they got. I want to improve my life, I want to provide for my family. These are the types of folks we already have in the pipeline that we'll be talking to. But the roadshow includes a host, a huge host of avenues of different places we are going to go to recruit. The admissions, we really are wanting to work with WNC direct as far as all the financial aid. Let's not reinvent the wheel. Looking at those, but we're also looking at ways to the processes by which we can find other sources of funds as well to either supplement and or in some cases completely fund some of the candidates that we find. Obviously, we're working directly, like I mentioned, about having web classes, some of the prerequisites, the different, especially those four areas and those industries of how do we get folks in courses and enrolled. We're having a soft launch this September, which is just basically saying where are there openings and there are existing classes already that we can find folks to fill those courses right now. We don't have to have this completely baked, even though we like to have a really solid plan, but we don't have to have it completely baked to get students enrolled now in courses. So we're doing that right now. The finish line, obviously, we're working also to say, how do we work directly with our industry leaders, but also specifically, how do we have a program by which it works for you, the employer? So in other words, we're looking at how do we have loan forgiveness, student loan forgiveness. If you promise to stay in Nevada and work every year, if you work and he works out, then your employer will pay 1 year worth of your loan. If your second year, third year, and so on, things like that. Or we're looking at, can we have a membership up front that seed funds the entire program that says, all right, we're going to fund this for a year because we have this expectation of you're going to bring us a lot of qualified employees. And that saves us a lot of money. One of the biggest questions, we have a very comprehensive questionnaire that Anita's going around asking, and it changes every time because we talk to an employer and they say, well, what about this? Okay, that's a new question to include in our next go. But the reality of it is that what do you need? How often, how much do you spend to recruit, train, retain, you know, all of your employees, how often, what happens if you don't, if you lose a person, how is productivity levels go down? So we're trying to get a number around that and get their heads around a number that we could also look to how much we could look to get funding for this program as an example. So there's a lot of work going on as far as workforce housing. It's obviously Nevada Rural Housing Authority works with a lot of other folks, including CPLC, of how do we get not just single-family homes and assistance into single-family homes, but also multifamily, townhomes, condominiums, a lot of a different kind of diverse inventory of how we fix the missing middle. There are financing tools, like we are like low-income housing tax credits and all kinds of other HUD, USDA tools for low-income housing. And obviously, we have a lot of our prominent developers doing market rate. Right, but that missing middle is very difficult. So we're looking at mixed income solutions and mixed use solutions as a way to solve that problem, including funding tools for that missing middle as well. So there's a lot going on, and I wanted to share too one of those things that Anita brought up that I love is we collectively we already are doing a lot of social media campaigning. That's where that's where these students pay attention. We all know that, or these candidates pay attention. But one of the things that's been very clearly brought up a couple times today is that the misunderstanding, the misnomer that these jobs are something you wouldn't want. So what we also are proposing is we're going into these employers' places of business. We're going to take some time and take just on our own little phone and video some of the different jobs and the people in those jobs in the moment. Very candid, very frank, authentic. Say, hey, I am... you know, a intern and I'm working in the maintenance and this is what I do and they're dressed nicely and this is what I love it, this is what I hope to accomplish as soon as I finish, and have it just be very, just little, a library of different jobs, of different employers, of different places. That's going to be great. As President Byrne, you were talking about the students who said, are you a teacher? I want your signature. It'd be great if they did this whole thing. They filmed themselves doing their whole thing. Right? It's like, I'm going to the library to get my signature. I'm going, now I'm going to. I mean, that's the kind of stuff people want, of this age group, want to see. They don't want to hear us. They want to hear, see their peers and how their peers are succeeding in a way that they'd like to be succeeding. So we're really focused a lot on that and really going to the places where they congregate and using their language and the tools they like and use. So that's the progress report. Do you have any questions for
Sherry?
I tell Rob all the time we're building the plane as we're flying it, so it's going to require a little patience. We're going to have some turbulence, but we're excited to work with all of the staff at WNC to make sure that this is as smooth as possible. Yep, thank you.
Great job. Wow. Thanks,
Sherry. Thank you. Thanks.
Progress being made. So thank you for that. And we'll be continuing to give you updates on this. I think this really speaks to our core issue of pipeline, and it becomes the marketing reach out there to energize students in all of these different areas. I'm glad we're taking on those four different areas of the need in our sections.
You know, the other thing on, you look at the agenda, this is opening many different avenues than we originally. I think it's great because the impetus for this initiative really came out of the IEC.
Yep.
You're looking at saying, okay, the traditional pipeline, that 18-year-old coming out of high school, is not going to meet the workforce needs, and we've got to reach that non-traditional student. And of course, they require money more resources and the traditional student that could live at home or, you know, that doesn't have a family yet or anything else. And so another thing that's come out of this, and I can't take all the credit, Mr. Frank Woodbeck, who's now our Vice Chancellor for Workforce Development, has opened an avenue with the State Department of Health and Human Services because they're very interested in getting particularly SNAP participants, which, you know, SNAP is... and the acronym Supplemental Nutrition Food Stamps is probably more commonly. And there's actually federal programs that will help support this as well to help pay the tuition and the training costs And we're looking at the holistic approach, just like we talked about, because we can't deal with the housing, the living expenses, the child care, as well as the tuition and the training. There's just not an avenue. I mean, the things we do know is the jobs are out there, and we have avenues to pay for it. In fact, the tuition is probably becoming one of our simpler challenges, because we have the SNAP program that will pay. We have the Silver State Opportunity Grant. The students are qualified, which is a need-based grant. The WIN helps pay tuition, right, Georgia, that if it's for a selective company. So we're seeing more and more avenues for that, but we're trying to build, and the goal is working with the NNDA, the Rose Group, as well as HHS, is have, and we've identified mechatronics because there's clearly a need there to have the first cohort ready to go in January under this program, and these are going to be targeting underemployed people. So we're going to give them the opportunity to hopefully leave that job that's not a living wage job, that they're not getting benefits. That's why they're needing supplemental help, be it health care and or nutrition for their family, to put them through a 4-5 month program that will lead to the certification, and hopefully at a minimum, at least the type jobs that Panasonic and Tesla are hiring for, which are the high teens, but even if they can get their level one certification and push them through that, that would even be jobs in, you know, north of $20 an hour. So that's hopefully, like I said, within a couple months, we're going to see the first cohort into this program. And so we're running very fast.
We are, and I apologize, Sherry Woods Green, for the record, is our formal launch will be January, in alignment with what President Burton just suggested, yes.
Tim Dyer, I can think of six people that have approached me and said, I want a job, but they don't have any skills.
Let's go.
So where's the best point of contact to get them in touch with this program?
Well, you, for right now, it would be Anita Lawrence at NNDA.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
please.
and we'll be doing more outreach in the next 2 months.
Well, it becomes a really formal marketing program. And I really like the ROADS acronym. I can never remember what it stands for.
Realizing opportunities for the American dream to succeed.
I have a real hard time with that one. But it's a unique program. I think it's going to come together. It's going to be super. And it's going to push out in all these different areas. So it'll help healthcare. Lynn, did you want to add something?
If I may, there's Lynn O'Mara for the record. There's something that's also starting to emerge as we've been working on this, and that is building the pipeline means it's easier for current employers to keep their current employees that they spent money on, and they don't get poached because someone else is looking for, employers are looking for new employees. So by having that pipeline, they're less likely to have the issues we've seen with Tesla and Panasonic. At least that's one of the goals that we hope could come out of this. And then, too, we always have that pipeline of folks at different training levels to fill the jobs that are available.
If you look at talking this over with Vice Chancellor Woodbeck, you try to put a number on how big this target can be. And when you define underemployed in a different way, okay, it's underemployed by potential. In other words, these are folks that with education and some certification could get a lot better job. You could go up to a third of the population of Nevada, which is about 850,000. So out of that, if you took just the top 10%, and then I look at it as, how many can we put through a mechatronics cohort 9?
10.
We could do, 10 to 12.
Yeah. So, our what we have to do is widen the pipe, all right? While we're bringing the students in to create the needed employees. The other thing that I find really interesting is we've been doing a lot of, or starting to do an analysis of fast-growing companies. And you look at fast-growing companies within the Western United States, and you see these profiles where their earnings are going up rapidly and their headcount is going down, which means they're doing one thing. They're automating.
Automation.
Okay.
And when you look at the cost of labor, that's the future. And so WNC is perfectly positioned with these programs to attract those students here for that type of certification. So I think the ROSE program is going to go a long ways in doing that. So any other comments or questions from the members on this before we move on? Mike, I know you're dying to say something.
That's okay.
Laura, you got anything you want to add on this presentation?
No, I just think it's a really good program, and I'm looking forward to moving forward.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, we'll move on. Thank you for that, Sherry. Greatly appreciate it. Okay, that would be the
objectives.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think that's a good suggestion. We're running out of time. Item number 14, which was to review our action items, I think we should table it because we're running out of time, and that needs to be a long discussion. But I would put this request out to all the members. Reopen those five objectives and take a look at them. And I'd really appreciate some homework between now and tomorrow. As soon as you possibly can, between now and the next meeting, is take a look at those objectives and jot down some ideas. You're hearing all the things that we're talking about here, I think, are in those objective frames. But what else could we be doing? What else could we be talking about here? So if we had that work done between now and the next meeting, then we could have a really robust conversation in the next deal. So we'll move on.
Question?
Yes.
If we decide to write anything, where do we send this to?
You can send it right to me.
So, okay, then thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for that question. So, item number 16.
The conference is about to end.
All right, we're going to do this real fast.
There you go.
We look at item number 16. We'd like to get approval on these dates for our next three meetings. They're listed there on your agenda. Wednesday, November 15 at 10 a.m. Wednesday, February 14 at 10 a.m. That's in 2018, if you can believe that. And then Wednesday, May 23rd, 2018. We're kind of staying on the same pattern. Any discussions, problems, or other suggestions?
I have a conflict with two of them, the February and the May.
What do we do on that one?
Well, you'll probably
14,
still have more on
Valentine's Day.
I could ask Deb to send out a meeting request and give us some suggested dates, and then we can come back and prove it.
But if I'm
the only
one,
it would be November
15th.
Yeah, but there might be more.
But you've got this new ad hoc chair position. We need you.
I can make the next
in more
one.
Than one way.
It's not February and May.
So the suggestion, President Burton, is that Deb will send out a doodle poll type of a thing.
Okay.
And so we can get these things set, and then everybody can agree on them, and we'll be done. Okay, we'll move on then.
You don't have to vote on that.
Huh?
You don't have to vote on
that. No, thank you, Mark. We'll just set them. Okay. Moving on to new business. Any items we would like to put on our future agendas, now would be the time to suggest those. Anybody?
I do have one. Sorry to put this at the end here, but I'm here to wait at the end. At the conclusion of this meeting, I'll be submitting my resignation from the council. By the end of the month, I'll have moved out of the state to a new job in North Carolina.
Wow.
So,
congratulations.
Possibly for the next meeting is the discussion of whether you need to fill an empty seat or what to do about that one. For the record, this is 2 years ago. I remember meeting in over there at across the street from our plant on this. So as we got started 2 years ago, and really proud to have been a part of this, have learned to know all of you and the work that Chet, you guys have done here at the college is fantastic. So this has been a very rewarding couple of years to see this grow and hear the comments about how WNC is out in front of the community college community, and it's very rewarding. So wish you guys all the best as you go, as you continue this journey.
We appreciate all you've done, and I was worried knowing you work for GE. The good people get moved up and out, and so congratulations. I'm sure this is good, but we're going to miss you.
I will leave notes for my whoever my successor is if there's interested in keeping, you know, from GE. Would now Baker Hughes, and for the record, it's technically Baker Hughes, a GE company,
yeah,
which just completed the merger at the beginning of this month, or July, the summer, at some point. Still GE, but I'll leave some comments and my recommendation that my successor, if you guys are so interested, be open to considering something like this.
That's very nice of you. Greatly appreciate everything that you do here and everything else you're involved in. You're going to be missed. I'll guarantee you, you're going to be missed.
It's time to get closer to the Atlanta coaching.
Yeah. Again. Mr. Dyer.
I say congratulations. I had people that I knew that worked for IBM and that it stood for I've been moved. GE stands for going elsewhere.
But please remember this is a public meeting. We don't want to. Okay, any new business? Thank you. And again, we're sorry to see you leave, but thank you for letting us know. Any new business to go on the next meeting agenda from anybody?
And a reminder, please, we really solicit the input from the members. So even if it's not new business, as we're putting together a new agenda for the November meeting, feel free to reach out to the chair with any suggestions you have, because I think it's real important that we listen and are able to incorporate those things.
Yeah, I think just in, to echo that, and we had our executive board meeting in NDA today, and one of the non-confidential things that we discussed, that just, I can't remember the exact number, Mike, but a number of parking spaces at Tesla Panasonic that they just
added. Jeremy mentioned they added 400 and he still couldn't find a parking space out there when he went out there.
Yeah, it's just the growth that's happening right now. I know that Andrew Haskin, our business development director, is running around with, you know, a dozen companies outside of the Marine Industrial Center with really large deals. It's going to keep growing, okay? So what's happening here at Western Nevada College is the key right now to really handling that growth. And that's right before we get to critical services and civil infrastructure, which is Nick's other problem. But as far as how we build more roads and
down schools.
I'll just tell you that right now. Take the conferences off.
Okay. But anyway, just keep your mind on this council, because I think it's a really important thing. So please do give us your suggestions. And with that, when I say, do we have public comment? Does anybody have anything for the public like to say? Ms. O'Mara.
For the record, Lynn O'Mara. Recently, during the month of June, after session was over, Assemblywoman Irene Bustamante Adams decided to visit the Sierra Region manufacturers, and she had a list that she requested an NDA to facilitate those meetings. What came out of that was a lot of compliments about the training provided to the employees who had gone through WNC that they hired. They were very supportive then of what they heard about the roads program. More importantly, because of some of the initial visits, including a visit with Manny at GE about mechatronics, she decided she wanted to add a visit to WNC. She was blown away. Her comments have been consistently that this is the model, and she's also said the same thing to Georgia Boyd about what the potential is. She is attempting to get more of the assemblymen from down in southern Nevada to come up here to see just what WNC is doing, as well as looking at this as really the model the others are to do. She also is very complimentary about the IEC. She got an opportunity to speak with Rob and Chet, but going back now and looking at what other IECs are doing, she has seen this as really being the mover and shaker of all those councils that have been formed.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Hearing none, this meeting stands adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.